Last time on Roseville Beach.
And you wake up. You're not sure how much longer it's been, or if it was just a dream. But you are in a place strange. Across from you are several other people. And to the right of you is Odysseus. Am I at the correct residence? Is this the home of, one Arion?
In theory.
None other than Bobby Johnson.
Listen here, you little piece of shit.
Easy, easy.
Greetings. I'm glad you got my invitation. I am Mr. War, but you can call me Manny.
We're renting the house from a squid? I don't like this. Can I get out of the lease?
I'm looking for my good friend, Arion.
Interestingly enough, Mr. War, we are also looking for Arion.
Have I given you enough time? Are you ready to talk now?
Leave him alone!
Arion, I want to help you. I do not want to see any more of us dead. There are so few left.
Aelix sees this fucking thing and is seized with a deep and terrible anger. The thought of love does not enter her mind.
And Arion looks at them with horror and a new emotion that a siren has never felt before. Guilt.
Mysterious light shine along the ocean.
Outside of the steps of the courthouse is Nana Rose shouting at anyone who will hear, being backed up and thrown out.
The woman you see being escorted out of this municipal building is a stout indigenous woman. She is in her late 60s. She's dark brown hair. It's been tied back. Gray streaks are starting to come through. Her little round glasses, her little very grandmotherly. She's got a shawl on, she's got a shrug, because, you know, she's going to get cold, you know, if you're outside for too long. But right now, she is the face of rage itself. As she's saying, no, I'm not just going to take that for no reason. That's not a raccoon. I'm telling you, I saw it. I was seeing little gray men outside in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. No, you get me back out there.
Yes. Look, Rose, I get it. There's no little gray men. There's
To me like that, Stanley. I'm not talking about little gray men. You're not going to act like I'm in a home already. I am 67 years young. Let's be clear about that, young man. I saw you when you were still pissing your pants.
Okay. Rose, what? No, please. Look, I don't know how to help you. It's a raccoon. I'm sorry. A raccoon broke into your home. That's what happened. We'll send animal control out to get the raccoon.
feel like he'll do nothing like last time. He'll just sit and go leer at all my fish. He still loves me for those anchovies he took. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be hearing about more of this. I'll be writing a strongly worded letter. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yep. Okay. And they, like, slowly, like, trying to push you out. They're, like, trying to inch your foot out of the door so they can shut it. Ariane, Lou, Alix, you happen upon this scene, which, it's not like a crowd gathering, but Nana Rose can be heard across half of the village. Also, you watch as two men, sort of outsiders, definitely out of place, full suits, black fedora, but they're stylish, they're sleek. They talk to each other, they set their watches, one of them walks away and the other approaches Nana Rose.
I look to Ariane and Alix and I go, well, obviously they have never been to a beach before.
Urien has been stress snacking for the past week. Right now he has a deep fried like fish fillet that he's holding with a round of newspaper around it and taking very sad bites out of until you point that out to him. Very stylish though. Takes another big bite. What are they doing?
Alix just kind of like side-eyes you and then looks back over to them and just lights like her lights a fresh cigarette in her hand. Well, ain't gonna figure itself out. Come on.
Too many men in suits lately.
And this man approaches you, Nana Rose, and he starts taking a detailed account of this raccoon. Now, can you state your name for me, please?
That's Rosalinda Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, related to the guy on council in Navajo Nation. Uh-huh, yeah. So what I was saying, this thing, it's not a raccoon. I grew up out in the boonies. I know what a raccoon looks like. That wasn't a fucking raccoon. That was some winged dog fuck. I don't know what it was. It was flying around. I heard it scratching because, you know, normally I can drive off a raccoon. I'm pretty tough. But then I hear this thing scrapping along my bait boxes and I can't reach it. So I go at it with a broom. But then it flaps away. And that's when I knew I had a Jersey Devil or something on my hands. This isn't any raccoon unless raccoons invented aviation, which I don't think they're smart enough to do.
Now, can you please tell me why you believe that this is classification Jersey Devil?
So you see, you know, back before I divorced my husband, we saw a lot of things. You see a lot of weird things out in New Mexico. So I was out in my sheep herd, and she just goes on with this whole story about when she was out with her sheep, and there was this little gray man. And then, you know, we started talking, but he ran away. I think he was scared. I almost got him. You know, made it only with a toaster. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I feel it in my bones. That's how I know.
And they write down, like, everything you say. Like, they're taking a witness statement. Thank you, Rosalinda. You've been very helpful.
Oh my gosh, about someone tries to be helpful around here, you're telling me.
And they, like, take their hand out to shake your hand.
I just look at it. What are you trying to do? You trying to sell me something?
Well, it was good talking to you. We'll be in touch. As he walks away, actually right past the three of you, and glances towards Ariane.
Mr. Suitman, I actually think that you should write down in those notes there that she's very right about raccoons not inventing flight. That was a couple individuals by the last name of Wright, and just you should know that she's correct.
Thank you. That's a smart young lady right there. You better listen. I'm telling you, the folks around this town, they know better. Unless they're on council, it seems.
And he just, like, takes a cigarette out and lights it and sort of chuckles to himself as he turns the corner.
A shiver runs up Orion's spine. He doesn't like being honed in on by any gaze. It sets him off, and with recent happenings, you see him kind of, like, retreat back. His hair kind of, like, falls a little forward past his face. Urien feels that tug again, and the sound of a gravelly voice in his head calling him Siren. Echoes of an old promise, and he sighs and looks over to Rosalinda, and it's just like, Jersey Devil? What is that?
Oh, yeah, no, it's one of those winged dog things that hang around. She's, you know, sitting down, she's leaning against, like, a partition of stairs, just... Oh, it's been a day. I've been trying to get these people out here, Albion City Council, to help me out with this thing. And I think it's a Jersey Devil, or at least it's some winged dog fuck thing.
I don't know why I continue to be surprised, but what do you mean that there's a winged dog? Because I, a few weeks back, think I saw a fucked up dog thing, and it was like a salamander. So I just want to make sure that I am getting the intel correctly.
Oh my god, you're right. It could absolutely be a salamander.
Oh, shit's back, guys.
I'm telling you, you get it, young lady. This is why I appreciate you, young people. I just do not know what this thing is. They're telling me, oh, it's just a raccoon, like I'm crazy. No, it's no raccoon. No raccoon knows how to fly and flap around and make demonic screeching in the middle of night macaroni noises. No, that's not a raccoon.
As soon as you see these, like, three folks, you see a young man with, like, wavy black hair and kind of, like, slightly messy stubble now. But he has an etherealness to him that feels a little strange. And he smiles at you, still with this fried fish in his hand. So you mentioned this creature flying around. What has it done? Has it stirred up trouble? Eating wires?
Oh, it's done more than eating wires. So I own Oyster Landing, right? So all of my income is fish. This thing's been going in my catch. It's been eating things. And normally I would think it was a raccoon, because, you know, raccoons, they got those clever little hands. They have the little thumbs and everything. Creator gave them too many, I'm telling you that much. Mm-hmm. But I'm fairly certain this thing is some kind of Jersey Devil. I heard it flapping. I saw it flapping. My eyes might be going, but I know. I know when I hear wings flapping, and I know what I saw. Unless there's a dragon here, I don't think so.
Rian has a strange reaction of gulping this little bit of sweat that he wipes off. This, like, charming man kind of, like, readjusts this floral button-up that he's wearing and high-waisted trousers. Dragon! Right. Friends?
Well, I, and you see that today Lou is sporting an actual t-shirt because the crutches were chafing her armpits when she was wearing her tank top. So she's in an actual t-shirt today for, like, the first time all summer. And it kind of looks weird. You don't normally see Lou dressed in a full shirt. She goes, well, I am kind of always the first to lend a helping hand around here, so I'll do that this time too.
You warm an old woman's heart, you know that, dear? Oh, look at you. And she just reaches up, pinches your cheek. Well, you kids, you come back to my shop, I'll feed you, and then we'll talk about dealing with this winged dog fuck, okay? You, young man, it seems like you have a good taste for fish. Here, let me look around. And she fishes around in her big canvas bag and pulls out a tin of tinned sardines in chili oil. Looks like you got some good taste. I'm going to be putting these on the shelf next week if I'm not selling the place. Because right now I'm thinking about just selling all my stock. But you get a little treat. But let's get all you kids fed. Come on, let's go. I'm going to tell you about that time that I caught a chupacabra. So this is why I need some extra hands. I know what I'm doing.
The third one, who very small, like 5'2", some like very slight but wiry mixed Asian woman, like flicks the ash off of her cigarette. Oyster Landing, you know, the bait shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, used to be bait. Not many people fishing nowadays. Also, put out that cancer stick. It's gonna be real bad around fish oil. You're gonna hurt yourself. Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like back and forth between the two of you.
I don't have an issue with the cigarette.
All right, just don't stand near anything too oily, okay? You'll send us all exploding. That stuff's real expensive. I gotta press it myself. You don't want to press 50 anchovies. That's not a good time, you hear?
No oil. Understood.
All right, what do you kids want for dinner? I can make Navajo tacos. I can do mutton burger. I'm eating, and you're feeding. So we're gonna get this handled before we handle whatever is going on back here. And we're just walking and talking. I'm, you know, leaning heavily on my cane as we're opening up the shop, getting everything open. Some bannock and a cast iron. We got mutton just being served up. I am still talking somehow as I'm chopping up green chilies. And it's like, yeah, it was a chupacabra. All I needed to do was get a toaster, a little bit of peanut butter. That thing wandered right in. Haven't lost a sheep since. But I'll tell you what, sheep's second favorite hobby, aside from fucking, is dying. Mm-hmm. That's why I got into fishmongering.
Lou is scandalized. Whomps is this woman that I've never spoken to in the last 10 years I've lived here, and why is she like this?
Well, and Nana Rose, correct me if I'm wrong, you've lived here for 30 years, right?
30 years right after the divorce? Yeah, and, you know, after the divorce and all that, and here, would you hold those chilies for me while I cut them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my husband, you know, he was fooling around with this girl, Oscar Lena, taking her to the casino and everything.
Lou definitely is holding these chilies and then touches her eye.
Alex is going to stop you from touching your eye and just grabs your wrist.
And you should listen to this. I know you're all badass with your cigarettes. Between you and me, there's a biker gang around here. I'm telling you, nobody believes me. But there are these guys. They show up in their leathers and their gals, I guess. Those beautiful women with their short haircuts. Oh my goodness. I can't think about it too much. But you should look out. They might try to recruit you. And next thing you know, you'll be spending all your money on gas. That's my number one thing. Not about the violence. They never break any of my windows or anything. It's the gas usage. Makes the air unbreathable. Have another bannock. You look hungry.
Have you cleaned up since the attack on your shop?
No, I have not. I rushed right to council when I discovered that this winged dog fuck had once again gotten into my bait bucket.
The front where you are is pretty much untouched. All the fish are untouched. It's just these sort of like anchovies, right, that have been peeled back and opened, and large crates which have been brought, tipped over, and everything has been scraped out of it. It's like literally scraped, scratched. Even some are like pierced through.
While Nana is going off about the many stories of her experiences and the little bits of snacks that Arian gets to have by being in proximity, he's going to take a look at the anchovies and give it a big inhale to see if there's anything odd about the anchovies themselves. He's lived in the ocean for so long, and his people and many of the denizens of the deep have been victim of pollution and other such man-made constructions. He's going to investigate them.
The first thing, right off the bat, Arian, these are not locally sourced anchovies. These anchovies are from pretty far away, and you're not sure quite what it is, but they are mixed with something that would attract a creature who is primarily based off of smelling. In fact, when you smell it, it's a little bit too strong. You have to, like, pull yourself back a little bit because it is so pungent. It is so fishy, to say the least. Also, not on the anchovy, but on the can, you can smell sulfur.
I think there's a moment where Arian, like, smells it. Smells too fishy. He, like, tastes it, and it's also, like, too much. It feels, everything here feels like too much. And Arian hears, like, sees this, and all the cogs in his head are going, and he exhales and looks over to Nana. Nana, where did you say you got these anchovies from again?
Oh, but get them from whoever brings them in, dear. Don't you worry about that. That thing's been in them. You're gonna get sick. Here, you want some anchovies? I got some more in my bag, okay?
But who brings them in?
You would have a normal supplier who would be sort of like your person to bring them in. But last week, no ships were coming in or out of Roseville Beach because there was a really, really bad storm. And so you were able to sort of get some discount prices from stock that had to stay or stock that might have washed up on shore.
Between you and me, and then she pulls you real close, Arian. Between you and me? That's the back shelf stock. That's the fish that's been sitting there for a bit. If you look real close, the eyes got kind of cloudy. So really, this dog fuck, I couldn't have picked a better thing to ruin. But still, you know, I gotta pay to replace it all. But yeah, this is just a extra.
Right. And Arian looks over to, like, Alix and Lou and holds a piece of anchovy over and is like, smells like sulfur.
And not that I'm, like, a big fish connoisseur or anything, but I assume that's not what it's supposed to smell like?
No. Sulfur volcano? Or something underground?
Just as this is happening, you all hear a trash can fall over and roll.
I drop the peppers on the counter and I run to the noise.
Lou, I'm going to say as you get to the back door, you are going to see that Nana, with surprising speed for her age and size, has grabbed a bolo covered in scrap metal and is just ready to go. You open the door, okay? I'll go out fresh and get it. On the count of three.
Okay, I don't... Yes, you sound very confident.
I got some little gray men on my old place. We can do this again, okay? You ready? On the count of three. And I count them in as we bust through the door, ready to get this thing.
Nana, I'm going to have you make this roll. You don't have any injuries or scares right now, so you get one die. Just take a d6. You definitely have a relevant background, as you are a cryptid hunter. Do you have a relevant skill?
I got a bolo, I'm ready to go.
Take another die. Do you have a second relevant skill?
Aside from being tough as nails, no.
This is a golden opportunity, so you can take another die. Lou is helping you, so take another die. And are you acting to protect somebody, an ally, a trouble, a comfort?
No, this is purely selfish. This is about getting revenge.
So those are all the dice you're going to roll. We are going to assign a die to goal, to clue, and to injury.
I rolled a 4, 2 sixes, a 3, and a 6.
You, Lou, open up the door, and on the other side, the trash can is...
It's very Indiana Jones-esque, but without stealing things, I am just whipping this in the air, throwing it like the best of the rancheros, and lassoing this garbage can, making it stop.
You pull it into the door frame so that, well, whatever is in it, if something is in it, wouldn't be able to escape. And you see as a bunch of rotten fish sort of fall out of the trash can. It's one that you've had to throw away because it just, you had backstock. And inside, there is a little glowing ember. And you all hear this screech, this horrifying dinosaur-like roar as it begins to shake and shudder against the door frame. It suddenly tips up and there is a claw and another clawed hand that sort of pull themselves up, and out from the trash can, you see a little head, a little beak, a single red feather on its head, and it looks at you, giving each of you a look, screeches again, and then flaps its 20-foot wingspan back, flying up into Roseville Beach, into the village, somewhere else.
Well, that's a pretty big problem.
Oh, shit.
I knew it was a fucking chupacabra.
What is that thing?
It's some kind of winged chupacabra monstrosity. That's what it fucking is.
Can I sort through my arcane knowledge? Is it a chupacabra, or is its actual literal scientific name weird dog fuck thing?
It takes you a moment to sort of catalog all of the magical beasts that you've been researching. And before you can even think about, like, that's what this is, you clock a little tag on its foot. Similar to how you would track pigeons in the wild. On it, it just has a simple E.6B79. This is not the winged dogfuck of legend. With maybe the sulfur and maybe the wings and the sort of structure, this could be like a phoenix, maybe?
Okay.
The only other option is dragon, but it was very bird-like.
Yeah, that shouldn't be here. And that somebody's tracking that, or studying it, or... She's gonna look over at Nana really quickly. Nana, like, phased by that at all?
I am doing the old man yells at cloud and just waving my bowl. That's why you better not come back!
Lou sticks her crutch out in front of Nana to stop her from running if she's going to, and then says, Nana Rose, in all of your times, in all these stories, has there ever been the likes of what's on this one on those? As in somebody's looking for it?
Like a dog tag? Are you saying this is someone's pet? Are you saying I got Satan's kitty cat in my back store?
Maybe not exactly that, but just like, has anybody else shown any interest in the creatures you found?
Well, not really. The U.S. government, they don't really care what's going on with my folks. Unless, like, it's something that they can profit from. Even, like, you know, when I was seeing Bigfoots at the edge of my property, they never came and helped us. You know, only real time I've seen, like, you know, the men in black, as they say, was like today, but I'm pretty sure those were realtors. You saw them. They were outside City Hall. They were looking there all like stuck up.
I know most of the people who sell realty in Roseville Beach, and I do gotta say, wasn't those guys.
Of course, it's the men in black. They want to know what I put in my tin muscles to make them so good. They're gonna try and buy my storefront. Pretty sure. Always happens. They always do this. That's what they did to the president, you know, Kennedy. Mm-hmm.
Lou is slowly realizing that she is speaking to a conspiracy theorist and is just like, I don't know how to get through.
Aria's eye flashes a very, very, very strangely seeing this creature
that tag and it flying off, and there's a deep-seated grief that falls inside him. It feels like burning iron chains as he drops his fried fish and starts running after this bird, yelling, "Wait, no, please, come back, we're not gonna hurt you!" And runs off.
Oh, what the fuck? Jesus. Lou, are you gonna... I gotta... Are you... Can you?
I know that usually I'm the one to do the running, but can we switch today?
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Let me go get my moped scooter out. We can go and chase him on back there.
Does that take three?
You know what? Can you fit on my back, young lady?
You can fit on mine and I can hold on.
That's called ingenuity. Let's get going.
As they're going over to the moped, she goes up to Lou. It's like, you don't need to tell anyone at the sandbar about this.
I don't usually have a habit of telling people about the things we get into. They seem fairly secretive.
You know what? Great. Fantastic. Let's go.
We're going to enter into our chase sequence. You three are on a moped. Arion is running on foot. Our winged dogfuck is flying through the city. It's pretty easy to track its first location because there is a horrified scream from the jukebox as everyone runs to the beach. And when the three of you arrive, Arion in tow, it's not too far away from here, the winged dogfuck has crashed through the screen, which they were projecting some horror movie on, jump scaring everyone right as the scariest thing would have happened.
I can fix that!
So last time I was hunting little green men. The thing is, with the flying target, you can't let him get out of sight. So you need to focus on that. You're gonna need some ranged weapons. And I reached once again into my grandmother purse of holding. And I produce a trap that looks like it is a toaster attached to a cage with a really long wire. You just swing that like a lasso and you get it over his dumb little fuckhead. That'll be just fine. It'll stop him, and you can press this button right here. It'll smell like toast. That's how you know it's on. It'll electrocute him just a little bit.
I think that we're trying to take a not so violent approach.
No. With this
scenario,
kind of violent approach, you gotta. This fucker's cost me profit.
I think that's really gonna upset Arion, and I don't think he can be more upset than he is right now.
Oh my gosh, another day one of these flowery young men is getting upset. I guess we'll take the non-lethal route then.
Blue puts her hands up and doesn't take it.
I'm also offering the bola. I am just here to be the escape car, in this case, the chase car. I'm gonna hurt my rotator cuff if I toss that. I need 20 of you young people to do that.
I can do the bola, I'm very strong.
Aelix is trying to weigh the secrecy of her magic in her head in this moment, and then realizes that, number one, Nana's seen everything, and number two, if she did talk about it, Nana talks about conspiracy shit all the time. The odds of it getting picked up are basically none. She's like, I got this. Just get us close.
You got that. This isn't the first time I did a getaway drive, and we just moped into the sunset.
It has punched through a giant screen, which they project the movie onto. There's a little lawn with chairs that have been tumbled over as people have run off of the site. And there is like a little building where they would sell tickets and concessions. And then above that, there is a home for the people who own the business to live in. There is a screeching from inside the home as glass shatters inward, and you see the owners rush down. Lou, you know these people very well. You owe them quite a bit of money. As they rush right past you, and then suddenly, you start to smell smoke.
God, it is the devil! It's got fire breath! That's all right. I know exactly where to fire flame extinguisher, and worse things worse, I called down a rain dance. Don't you worry, I got this! And I am just gonna park, start looking around. Where's the fire department? Get moving, you fucking idiots!
Lou is already on her crutches, going as fast as she can. I think I run up to the owners and I go, "Is there anybody else inside?"
No. We got out. I don't know what that thing was. There was this giant flappy dog shit.
We're gonna take care of it.
And then one of them says, "That was a bear. What are you talking about? A bear is at our home. It was not a bear. It was a freaking. And they're like bickering between each other.
We're gonna take care of it. You guys need to get as far away from here and as far away from harm as possible. Okay?
They look at each other. speechless. They look at you, speechless. One of them sees the hole in their projector.
I can fix it.
Alix has booked it into the house and is running up to the floor, whatever level it is that they are, that the fire and the fucking experiment bird are.
Same.
So it's just two floors. The two of you run up into the home of the owners. It's not anything crazy. It's living room, a kitchen, and a bed. There's not even like a different room. It's all one room. And caught up in sheets and sort of like tangling curtains is the winged dog fuck as it is opening up all of the... It's actually ripping doors off the cabinets and piercing through all of their canned goods. And it like opens its beak and shatters beans everywhere.
Oh, fuck's sake. Alix is just gonna like reach out with her hand and there's a bend of light. She's like, sleep! And we're gonna use some magic.
Arian is so scared for this thing's longevity that he like crouches and is holding out his hands. Beads of sweat are falling past his face, turning bits of his skin to scales, and he starts chirping in a similar way that he did before Odysseus last time to try and coax this creature to be calm and stop stabbing things.
That's going to be magic, goal, honestly, injury, and scared.
Magic is fine. Goal is a 6. I will put the 5 in injured, and I guess I will have to fail scare.
What's this about an invitation? GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600-plus page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound, as well as industry partners like Darrington Press, Modifius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. The chosen projects will receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. The call for submissions is open from May 5th through the 26th, with crowdfunding going live fall of 2026. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, but if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today. This episode was brought to you by World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the powers those worlds have to shape our own. Their posts are wide-ranging, and if you can't find something that interests you, that's gotta be a skill issue. Because even with a quick glance on their front page, I found posts about The Sims, about Project Hail Mary, about Halloween Town, of all things, a movie I ritually watch every October. But one of my favorites was a post about Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers, which is a wonderful duology, a little slice of life, about a tea monk and a sentient robot. And the World Builders Club article is a wonderful peek into the themes of the books. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten Tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and seal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979. Included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Somm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as
the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
As you cast this spell, the winged dog fuck, the spell lands on it. and it starts to panic as it crashes through another window, and it flaps its wings once, twice, and it crashes somewhere off in another part of the village. Through a village. And I think the scare you're going to take here is exposure. Nana, Lou, you saw where this thing crashed. It's not too far away. It was directly into the Marine Marvels building. In fact, one of the boats that it crashed into, it snapped right in half. It like released this loud honking sound.
Now that's what we call strategy. I don't know what MK Ultra tricks your friend used in there, but we've got this in the bag. You just stay back. I'll handle this. And I reach one more time into my bag and get a blankie that you put over someone when they're cold. I'm gonna make sure this thing is dealt with, don't you worry. And I am going to get back on the moped and zoom away.
Do you wait for anybody else?
No.
Lou's like running with her crutch in the air. Wait, no, don't hurt it! Don't hurt it!
The camera's going to follow Nana as you zip off across the village and screech, almost like drift your way into the parking lot of the Marine Marvels building right next to this boat where there is this sleeping winged dog fuck. And every time it breathes, its chest inhales and there's this warmth that comes about it. And when it exhales, the air starts to like smell like sulfur.
Okay, we're gonna have to get you some toothpaste or whatever. I begin to approach this thing. It looks very sinister. Like, camera's behind. It looks like she's about to smother it. But she takes out the blanket, snaps it out, spreads it over this thing, and begins to roll it up like a burrito. You have a lot to answer for. We're gonna go home and we're gonna talk, you little fuck, okay? I don't know what you are, but you're real fucking ugly. But we're gonna figure out.
You're about halfway through rolling this up. I'm assuming you like crossed its wings in front of its body. You've gotten the wing crossed, you've gotten the second one crossed, and you're starting to roll it up. There's maybe like half of the blanket left. And around the corner comes the man in black, book in hand, and he shifts his glasses as it like glares off the sun. Thank you, citizen, but we'll be taking it from here.
Oh, no, you are, and I'm going to reach for the electrified toaster, and I'm going to throw it at him. This toaster trap, like, it is cartoonish, like, electricity crackles around it. I throw it. It goes over his head. I press toast. 5 minutes. He is shocked. He falls to the ground.
The man in black drops to his knees. You start to hear a... as the wicked dog fuck has torn one wing free and is not flying, but climbing its way one-handed through the rest of the town. And it's heading towards the corner store.
I didn't do my swaddle tightly enough, damn it! I know I should have listened when I was in nursing school. Okay, kids, I'm out of breath. I'll get the moped again, but I'm gonna need a nap after this.
While Nana's getting the moped, I want to frisk the tased government man.
If you use this, it will be bad news for Rosal Peach. Just know that. You get a government-issued gun from this secret agent. You get a badge. And the badge just says, like, Secret Service. But everything else in their sort of case file appears redacted until you put the glasses on. And it sort of has this neutralizing effect where you can read the redacted information. They lost a government experiment that they're tracking down.
We don't have time to unpack all of this right now. Alix has been a witch for like 10 plus years. She does not take the gun. She does not require it. Lou, maybe this is a question mark, but like Alix just, no, not in this situation. Badge, oh, that's interesting. Keep the fucking badge. I can't do it. Alix is like, do you really think I can bluff my way with that fucking badge? Look at me. We're keeping the book and the glasses though.
You have to step over the agent's body to get to the moped and like actually get onto it as the four of you zoom off again. You arrive at Auntie's corner store. Somewhat familiar of a scene for the three of you. Something has broken into her home. This time it is much more dangerous than oh shit.
Emo?
Oh no, oh no.
Emo, are you in here?
Does my hair look okay for we go in? Do I have to Oh my god, it's burning.
You start to hear a clattering and a yelling at a thing. And this is clearly Auntie yelling at the winged dog fuck.
Arian rushes in.
Doors burst open. The bell sort of like rips off of the door and falls to the ground. It actually hits the winged dog fuck as it falls onto the floor with a thud. And the winged dog fuck, its head sort of like twitches to you as it opens its mouth and screeches at you. Auntie yelling at it to get out of her store, and it twitches its head back and it opens its beak and you see flame.
Can I find a fire extinguisher?
Arian, not unlike the way he picked up the danger detector, just wraps his arms around this very clearly very warm, hot bird and is just going to clasp its beak shut.
Once it's shut, it bind magical, like, mouth closure. And I'm actually going to, like, double down. It's just like, let's fucking, like, should have done it on the damn carpet before, but it's just sort of like, wrap.
Arian, you're going to need to roll to pin this bird down. That's going to be goal. That's going to be injury. Lou, you're going to be rolling to find a fire extinguisher, which is going to be goal and injury. Alex, magic and goal and injury.
Two sixes. Let's go, baby.
Full success. 6-6-4.
I got 2 4s.
Arian, you grapple onto this creature, and you manage to pull its beak down as much as you can, but it's not so much closing it, it's more pulling its head down as the flame starts to scorch at your feet, just out of reach of this flame that is emitting from this bird.
Just, like, wrap it, like, invisible fucking blanket roll up, but this time it's magical.
Flame actually, like, comes out of the side, going down out of its mouth. It closes, and the thing snaps up in a wrapped situation, but with magic. And the flame is now just spewing straight up in a little stream and kind of, like, coming right back down, almost like a fountain. The fire extinguisher is not where it's supposed to be. Auntie has not kept up regulation code. This is not how it's supposed to be done. You're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you go back in the back, and you realize, oh my god, oh shit, ate through her.
Auntie, I swear to god, whatever I try to do to help you, you just make it 100 times harder for yourself.
And she just kind of, like, shouts something back to you. It's something that you don't quite understand, but it's clearly an insult towards you, as she looks to Alex, and she just gives, like, a, not a wink, not a thumbs up, but a, you did fine. You did adequately.
Alex is Korean as shit. She knows like 20 words, but she did in fact understand at least 3 of the words that Auntie just said about Lou, and it's just like, she is right, you know, like, you need a fire extinguisher.
Shh, 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 shh. It's fine. We got it fixed. Look, she like takes her pan that she had, which is she just pulled right off of the rack, still has this price tag on it, and she like taps the side of this bird, not gently at all. She's like, it's fine, it's fine, look, you dealt with it. And she goes to like grab it, and she's trying to drag it out of her store.
I want to do accidental hand touch here. That is the tropes. I'm going to help her. Our hands brush, we make eye contact, the lesbian realization happens. Hey, you know, by the way, if you need help installing that, you know, I'm kind of what they say, handy. So, like, if you need any help with that, I could help. And don't worry, I'll take this little guy. He needs to answer to me. I think he's just young and he doesn't really have a collar. I'm going to get him his shots and everything. It is real nice seeing you.
This thing is too much. Look at all the damage. She, like, points back to the door that's missing its bell. Look at all the damage that's done to my home.
I mean, I can help pay for it, but I could fix that for you, like, this afternoon. I could bring some fish, too.
What is happening?
Lou is like, that's my fucking line. Like, what is this? And Alex just goes over, because Alex cannot watch this. This is like watching your, like, someone hit on your mother. Alex just goes over to, like, Lou and is just like, we should go.
Lou looks at Alex and is like, I've tried to help her every single day of my life. What is happening?
You owe her so much money.
And I've tried to help her.
You know, we're both handling this winged dog fuck. It's outside this woman's store. We've been such close friends. We talk every day. We sit by each other. And by talking, I mean like we just sit in silence on the bench. The hands touch. It's the first time I felt anyone's touch in years. Our eyes meet. I could, like, come over later and put that door together for you. It's no biggie, and I'll handle him.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, like, looks down at you, and she, like, takes you all in from head to toe, back top. She goes, I'll take you up on that.
Absolutely. They say I'm not from the Longback clan. You're going to see a lot of work today.
All of you can help fix up the shop if you want to. The winged dogfuck is bound with magic and has been put out back.
Alix is not going to be in the same room as Auntie and Nana because she will die.
Lou is actually doing all of the work. No one is helping Lou. It is just her.
I was like, I gotta be so real. I'm not doing any of the work. We're just talking and flirting and like two very awkward closeted lesbian ways. Like, oh yeah, you left? Mm-hmm, I could tell. Where'd you get that shirt? It fits you real good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one, I've had this one since, I don't know when I got it. It was 20 years ago.
But if oh, you have a button still, undone. Let me get
you,
that
you,
for
you. You never buy new. You never buy new. You know, you fix what you got. It's always gonna work.
That's what I say. Always. Older is better. That's what I always say.
Older is better.
I'm helping by not getting in the way of lesbians. That's how you be an ally. I'm getting out of the way of Lou's work because, as we've discovered last episode, I can't use a screwdriver. So I'm not helping in the fixing up. So I'm helping the best way I can, talking ancient Greek to this phoenix.
Alix goes into the shop, sees what's happening, grabs a beer out of the cooler, throws $2 on the counter, however much a beer costs, and then goes out back, just like cracks the lid.
Auntie stops you, and she gives you $1 back.
Lou is like, I can't catch a fucking break.
Just takes it and just goes out back.
And Auntie also pulls out a drink for herself. And just sort of like waves one at you, but you know it's a question. Like, is this the one, or is it this one, or is it this one, this one? Okay, I know. And she like puts it back. She shuts the door and she goes back behind the counter and she pulls out the expensive stuff. This is her own supply, and she opens it up and she pours you one. She doesn't pour it for herself, just you, Nana Rose. And she puts the cap back on and back under.
I am going to take a sip and say, you know, I'd love to take you dancing some night. I used to dance real good back in the day. Maybe I still do. You want to find out?
Well, dancing's a little hard ever since my hip, you know, got thrown out last year. But I can do a good 10 minutes. I heard the cabana is nice.
I heard nice things about that too, and don't you worry, I'll carry you there. I also got a moped.
I don't know about this new craze of music they got going on there. I don't get what it's all about. What is the spinning? There's so much light. There's so much light that just shines off and it blinds you as you're dancing on the floor. We don't need that.
No, that's gonna give someone a fit. I'll take you real nice, real classic, a nice slow dance. Just you and me, I'll hold your hand, everything.
Lou on a ladder with a broken leg, having no idea that this conversation is going on, goes, okay, I think I fixed the top of the door hinge. It also was a little squeaky from the last time, but I made sure that it works smooth. Okay, you're not paying any attention to me. I'll just keep going.
There's paint. There's paint back there.
What am I supposed to paint?
Simultaneously, point and lean over Nana Rose and turn the radio up to slow jazz.
Oh.
Alix is gone.
I take her hand and I very tenderly dip her as we begin a slow tango.
During a part that's a little bit slower, a little bit closer, you know, Rose, I know we've known each other for a long time. We've known each other for 30 years now, is it?
Yeah, 30 years since the divorce. You helped me move into the shop and everything, yeah. This woman is red-faced, by the way. She is just flushed, and it is not the liquor.
I've been waiting so long, Rose. Why now?
And she just pulls just back a little bit, their nose to nose. Truth be told, I didn't know that, you know. I mean, all these young people, you know, it's fair for them. I didn't know us older folks, we could be like that too. Figured it was too late for us to be happy, you know?
She clutches your hand. It is never too late to be happy.
I'm going to take that hand that is holding mine. I'm going to press the knuckles to my lips and kiss them.
And she just lets out this shudder as you do. As much as I love this moment, what are we doing about that big-ass bird?
Oh, right. Fuck. Oh, my God. He's tied up, right? He's not getting out. Like, it very much, like, breaks the moment because I'm in monster hunter mode again. I rush back outside to make sure that he's still there, probably seeing Arion cuddling with this thing.
The thing never went to sleep either. It's been awake this whole time as Arion has been speaking Greek to it. And this creature, you know, its beak shut closed, is just now like sitting up like a human and is listening to Arion basically read its stories.
You're watching this young man speak God knows what language. It sounds old. His voice has transformed a little bit. It sounds a little more like gravelly and old, wizened, as he's like speaking to this phoenix, trying to like calm it down. And in his own words, he's trying to explain, look, we want to help. We wish to help Great Phoenix, but I don't know how you've got here, and I don't know what situation you are in. So if we could just be relaxed. Yes, just like that. Nice and calm. And just trust me, an old friend from the old times. Right? Yes.
Goddamn, that is one ugly dog. What are you even saying to that thing?
And it looks over at Nana Rose, cocks its head to the side.
Yeah, you, I'm talking to you.
And it gets up on its hind legs, perched, but like bound, as it hops over to you and starts pecking at you.
Oh, friend, relax. And he's still speaking this ancient language. Relax, we are all friends. We are all friends here, not an enemy.
You put your hand up and it puts its beak underneath you and pushes you to the side and it keeps pecking towards Nana Rose.
Jesus Christ, I know what you want. And I reach into my bag one last time. Tin of fish, gourmet anchovies from the Italian sea. Crack them open. Is that what you wanted, you little greedy fuck?
And it spears the sardine on its beak, and then another one, and then another one.
You just see, like, in the background, like, at a distance, like, just Alex smoking a cigarette, just, like, snap her fingers, and the one around its beak undoes.
It flings them up into the air, and it gobbles them up. As it lands, slides those anchovies into its mouth. And it brushes its head up against you, Nana Rose.
Jesus, you are the ugliest dog I've ever made. He don't got tags. He needs somewhere to go. Guess he could stay with me for a little bit till like he gets a little bigger. Look at him! Look, and I take his little face like he would hold the dog and like just point at Arion. He's a little guy. You know what? He might cost me a lot in profits, but I think he's just a baby. That's a babe right there.
Auntie walks up and puts their hand on the winged dog folk as well and turns to you and says, I don't know about costing profits. This thing would make a pretty good sideshow.
Oh, if we could train him to do tricks, we'll have to start with sit, stay, all the rituals. We'll have to get him his tags, his shots. Don't worry, I'll go have Z's with you. We can do 50-50 on the profits, no biggie.
60-40.
Sweetheart, I wouldn't take that money from you.
And she laughs because you're wrong.
Oh, you're a tricky little vixen, ain't ya? I like that.
Perhaps we should ask our friends' thoughts on being held. Arian says, a little uneasy at this discussion of holding this creature here, and looks to kind of like Alex and Luke.
Alex does not look at you in the eyes, and you maybe realize that she hasn't responded to anything you've said or looked at you in some time. And she is just like, listen, you can't showcase him. He's just gotta be free. Like, the fucking government's after him, okay?
That's true. Tell you what, I did this with some kittens, you know, right after the divorce. We'll foster him.
I think if anybody cares to hear my two cents, O'Shea might want a friend. He's all alone out there in the woods.
O'Shea? Wait, why are you confused?
Not acknowledging Lou, hears this, turns to Alex, and says, That's the fucked up dog, right?
Oh, you can use my words, but we can't look me in the eye. Okay.
That's the other fucked up dog. We can, you know, they'll
do a fucked up dog daycare. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
We could run a fucked up dog daycare. We could open up a fucked up dog daycare.
We'll do it. We'll start an LLC, but most importantly, we're free ranging them.
She goes into her store and she like pulls out this drawer with all of these papers. She says, loot. And she just waves you over.
Yes.
There's a paper in here. It's got a big signature on it, and it's got like a stamp, and it's got the government on it. Can you help me find it, dear?
Lou hears dear, totally straightens up and is like, of course. Anything you need.
That took nothing.
Auntie has pulled out some chairs for you. It's a nice day. She's made drinks or lemonade or whatever you want. She's made a little thing. She says, you know, just stay out here. Lou and her are gonna find the thing. And she's rifling through the papers with you, pulling out a folder, looking at it. Nah, it's not the right one. And she puts it on the stack of wrong papers, which is the only stack so far. She leans back at her chair, a little stool, and she crosses her arms.
Lou's just looking.
How's the, Annie? How's Annie?
The last time we spoke, well was the word that was used.
Yeah? And, was that you using that word, or was that, Annie?
That was her using that word.
You don't seem so convinced.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced when she said it.
And she goes into filing, looking for the papers.
Lou almost questions what this is and is then goes, I'll ruin it if I say anything. And also goes back to look for the papers.
She kind of just puts her hands on top. And she gives a big sigh. Don't waste your youth, Lou. I give you a hard time because I see myself a lot in you. You're a hard worker. And I just don't want to see you mess it up. Don't become me.
Well, I think you're pretty cool, but I think I know what you mean.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about you.
I'm not trying to mess anything up, but I've got people to take care of, and that just kind of comes first, you know?
Who is people?
Just like, you know, I wouldn't call it home, but back home.
Why aren't you there? Why aren't you there helping them? Why aren't they here helping you?
I guess they could be if they weren't in need of help. But that place isn't good for me, and I got out when I could, and, well, Scotty couldn't, and so, you know, I gotta do what I can. He's a mess, and he tries, but I think if I spent more time with my mom than I did, I might have been in the same boat. So, you know, I can't begrudge him that.
It's hard, trying to care for everyone. Can I give you some advice? And then she goes into giving you the advice. You are such a hard worker, Lou. You need to know that. You don't know that? Now you know that. You are a hard worker, Lou. People should respect you, and they should like you. And if they're not willing to give you a fraction of what you give them, you gotta let them go. I don't know what's next. And maybe it all works out in the end, but right now, it's not working. And if you need them to come get, you know, set on the right path, you send them to me. You send, who's this boy? Scotty? Scotty, you send Scotty to me. I'll put him to work.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure he'd disappoint.
Ah, you got it for 10 years. Scotty will get it for 10 years. Come back after that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Do you really need help finding a piece of paper, or can I go back outside?
You're working. We're finding the paper.
Okay, so sorry. I thought maybe that was a front. Okay.
You rifle for another 10 minutes until you finally find it. This is a little plot of land that Auntie won in a poker game years ago and has done nothing with. It's a little bit of land that's been sort of stripped clear in the swamp, and she presents it to you, Nana, as the location of the winged dog fuck daycare.
Yo, hands over, touching again as I take the deed. We'll have to work over this after, you know, we sit down, we have a T, my back really hurts. I'm pretty sure yours does too. We did a lot of work back there.
Oh, so much work.
So much work.
So much work. You and me, we did that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. We're gonna make sure these little winged dog fucks have a sanctuary where they can fly and be free.
I'll build it.
Atta girl.
Oh, for free! Thank you, Lou.
I'm not for free, and I pull into my bag and produce a Werther's original. That's for your troubles.
And the camera's gonna zoom out as just Lou is hooking up the winged dog fuck to some sort of truck that you had to get imported to the island to take out to the sanctuary. And we end with a little, like, blackout heart on the storefront and a little heart on the bait shop. And then it goes black.
This series stars Alexander Christopher as the Game Master, Valiant Dorian as Arion, Dan Pixel as Alix Cho, and Kenzie Tartaglioni as Lou Wells. This episode's guest star was Abby as Nana Rose. If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord, and make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more.